can you speak more than one language? What if the language you know is not so much defined by nationality or culture, but by the jargon you use within your expert subject area? That means most of us would know several different languages and ways to communicate effectively in multiple situations that make us more or less relatable or even more or less employable. And the way we use and reuse language today could impact how you communicate tomorrow. So what does the language of your future look like? Well, there's only one person who can look into that crystal ball with us, and that is futurist and your regular guest here on Morning, Steve Sammartino. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Kaya.
Firstly, you're a Victorian. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, well, yeah, we're back in. Second time round. We're in ISO 2.0. That's what we call it. See, language. That one started to get texted around last night to a few of my buddies in our little text groups. Everyone's like, how are you going with ISO 2.0? Are you ready for it? It's like, so there we go. A new word in a new context just arrives like that. We're all a bit, you know, just actually a little bit more nerve-wracking than the first time, to be honest, because
Yeah. It
seems a little bit more heavy. But anyway, we'll get there.
It's interesting as well because I was talking to my friends who live in Victoria, and up here I've heard it called the vid, as in COVID, and down there They call it the RON, as in coronavirus.
Ron.
So
yeah,
even
I've heard the RON as well.
Even between different states, we come up with different slang for the same situation we're living in.
Yeah, the geography really matters because what happens with language and the way it evolves is that within your geography, words get invented, right? There's a lot of merged words and words that come from other places. Someone says something that's kind of got a quirk to it and works well, and then the people who hear that pick it up, and then it gets distributed in that area. And so the geography always matters with language. And now with the internet, I guess some of the things that would have stayed in a certain geography longer, they tend to spread around the world, and we're around the world sounding more like each other, but our language is actually growing at the same time, the number of words we use, and that's because of the facilitation of technology in growing the languages.
Yeah, because I feel like we're around a lot of American culture at the moment, so there's a lot of Americanisms that have snuck into, I think, Australian language.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's one of the things that's happened with technology, is that in some ways, cities used to be really different, but now what you have is cities around the world are really similar. Even, you know, the products we consume and the shops that we see and the language that we use tends to be more similar globally, but it's actually bigger. So there's more breadth in the language, but there's less differentiation around the world, and that's part of that technology and globalization effect.
At an animalistic level, does language make us special, Steve?
Yes, it does. I mean, many species can communicate, but language makes us special in one way that's very different to all the others. We're the only species that can document what we know and then pass on that information either to the next generation or to another geography. So with the written word of our language and the ability to actually document it, every time we procreate, we don't have to start at zero. Mm. That's what all the other species have to do. So we've got books and the information gets transferred, you know, through books and mathematics. And now we do it with video, we do it with computer code. And so because our language is our knowledge base, we can pass on more knowledge and then build more things as a species and build the civilization that we all physically see around us. All of that is a result of our ability to document what we do through language.
Yeah. How quickly does it evolve? How quickly do we see it change? Or has that changed as well, Steve?
Well, no, it changes really quick. I mean, the technology to communicate, we've seen over time, it's sort of that went a little bit slow. So you had books for a long time, or you would go all the way back to cave wall drawings, then books. You know, then we had telegrams and letters, and then radio and TV and Morse code. And then now we've got anything that happens around the world, someone's got a live studio in their pocket, and you can watch a protest in the US. Mm. So we know what's happening right away. But, you know, the way languages evolve, they're actually evolving quicker now. Languages are changing quicker because of that diffusion of information.
What are the sort of subcultures of language that we might find ourselves in our life, even if we do only speak one language?
Yeah, so you tend to have... Everyone speaks to their children very differently. We don't even realise it. We're so adept at doing it. As soon as you talk to a child, you bend over, you get down on your, you know, you kneel down and explain something to them, you modify your language in the first instance and make it more understandable. Mm. But then what you'll do is if you introduce a word that they haven't heard, you'll explain it to them. And listeners, when you speak to a child, you'll notice this once I've pointed it out. But what they're doing, they're listening to adult conversation all the time and they're moving up the learning curve. Then in our work, in our career, you have industry jargon. So tradies have certain words that they use in corporate settings. You have a certain language that you use. And it's almost like it's a test. So you meet someone and they'll be like, they're expecting you to know their jargon. And certainly when it's the first time you're doing, you know, a building project on a building site, or, you know, you're in the office, people want you to know that industry jargon. And it's almost like if you start using the right words at the right time, oh, yeah, he's one of us. She's one of us. No, really. Or you're talking about the rugby league and oh, you follow rugby? Yeah, I do. And then they'll test you a little bit about the things that you know. It's like, okay, yeah, you get it. You're one of us.
Oh, yeah. There is a test.
No, it is. And it's subconscious. And we all do it just to sort of say, are we in this together? Okay, we got this. Yeah, you're one of us. Cool. All right. And then you let your barriers down. It's almost like a safety mechanism.
Yeah, there's a part of that that's really lovely, that straight away you do find your tribe and, you know, we can do that without even thinking about it. But it also sounds a little bit exclusionary, Steve.
It is. It is exclusionary. But it's exclusionary sort of on purpose. Look, and you can even see someone who doesn't know the language, and if they're smart about it, they're like, hey, look, I'm not super familiar with this. And then people go, oh, yeah, cool. Here, come in, let me teach you. So there's almost like this balance where you've got to tell people where you are. There's nothing worse than someone pretending they know about something and using a certain language that's wrong. But if someone sort of puts their hand up and says, oh, I'm not all super familiar with, you know, computer talk, what's an algorithm again? You go, oh, algorithms, that's how the computer makes decisions. It, you know, goes through these filters and it says, if this happens, then show the person that. Oh, yeah, cool. And because they're interested in what you know, you get a bit of pride because you're bringing them up the learning curve. So it can be exclusionary or inclusionary, but it depends on the conversation.
What do you think the future of our language is going to look like?
Yeah, one of the sad things, I think, is that we're going to evolve to really, you know, two or three global languages around the world. I think that, you know, there'll be a few power languages, because it's almost like in globalization we have this thing called power laws, where certain companies dominate, certain languages dominate, certain political and economic systems dominate. Yeah, and it seems as though we're probably going to have Spanish, English, Hindi, and Mandarin as the core languages around the world. They're already the four power languages. But there is one other one that's coming that we all already speak and we just didn't know it, and it's the most popular language in the world. Do you know what it is, Kaya?
No.
Emojis. We all speak emoji. Because that's the one thing we all understand. And in fact, it's the only written language that everyone can understand no matter what language you speak.
Do you know what, though? Until recently, I thought it was pretty straightforward, the language of emojis. I thought I was pretty across what everything meant. And so I had been sending the rock on symbol, right, via emoji.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And
yeah,
then I learned that in American Sign Language, that means I love you. And so I've had that moment where I'm like, oh, no, all these people think I'm telling them I love them. And I'm actually
that's not necessarily bad, is it?
No, but even emojis have multiple meanings. It's not as straightforward as I once thought.
And that's the context of language, right? Is a word that means something to one person can mean an entirely different thing to another person because context matters. And that's one of the reasons we shouldn't be super scared of artificial intelligence, because artificial intelligence is really bad at context. Right? Where you say something, the time you say it, the tone you say it, who's receiving it, changes it with emojis as well.
I was in a deep dive last night on my couch reading handwritten letters between Angelica Schuyler and Alexander Hamilton from the 1800s, because that's where my brain's at the moment. And I was looking at their language and how they write. And then I had a couple of texts from my friends and I was like, wow, even just in that moment, so much has changed. How does how we communicate change what we'll be saying?
Yeah, so the technology that evolves tends to change the way we communicate, not so much in the written word, in the spoken word, but in the written word. So the context of letters, you know, you would write a letter, it might be a couple of pages long. You would be writing something that might be 2 months worth of information because the person's going to see it, then write you a letter, then you're going to get it back, and there's that space. But then if you look at text messaging and tweeting, it's always very short. You tend not to write big, long messages. You tend to make it more like a conversation where it's back and forth, because it's more instantaneous. So the restrictions of the technology tend to shape the way we communicate.
I feel like how we're communicating right now by speaking on a phone is almost a dying art these days, Steve.
It is. No, it is, you know, because it's like when someone calls you now on your phone, you look at it as if they go, what are you doing calling me? Send me a text. What do you think this is?
You almost throw your phone across the room and you're like,
throw it in the river. Throw it in the river.
I wasn't expecting that. Just text me.
Who are you? God. Yeah, text me. Who do you think you are? Call me. And if you're on a private number, how dare you? The most offensive thing in society, calling on private numbers.
Oh, we are interesting, interesting little people. Steve, really great to chat with you. Best of luck with, I know that tomorrow you go into lockdown, so stay safe, look after yourself,
okay.
And we'll chat in
a
fortnight.
We'll chat then, bye.
Steve Sammartino there, your futurist here on ABC Newcastle Mornings, taking you into that little bit of future around language.